This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
The focus now is on PRASA, or what we used to know as Metro Rail. These are the trains that commute people from their homes to work, to school, to the various destinations, and then commute them back. Millions of passengers who use the railway system. And we know that there have been many problems with the railway system reoccurring year after year, year after year, year after year. And remember the last time I told you that when I used to use the train, and when I was stuck in a train with the president, the same issues. So nothing had changed in between the last time I used the train up until the time I was stuck in the train with the president, which was last year, just ahead of the elections. And also concerns around how trains are being vandalized, torched, cables being stolen, the signaling problem, train crashes. What are the problems that the railway system is facing, and how to fix that? So last year, remember that the board was disbanded. An administrator was then appointed, Mr. Mbondo, who is now the administrator, and he has come up with a three-phased plan to turn around the peristatal. And I don't know if you've heard about it, if you've seen the report. I'd love to hear your take on it. You can call us on 0861-987-000. And probably you work for PRASA. Maybe you can tell us about some of the concerns there at PRASA as well. You can call us on 0861-987-000. You can also tweet at Aldrin St. Pierre 98. You can tweet at Aldrin St. Pierre and at Power FM 987, and use the hashtag Power Talk. Some of the findings, quite interesting, and some people would argue that no surprise whatsoever. One of the findings, for instance, that that Mr. Mbondo speaks about is that how PRASA has become a fertile ground for non-performers, and there is poor consequence management that happens in the company, as well as concerns around the supply chain management phase of the company. And now he says that there must be a lifestyle audit of people who work for the supply chain management, as well as the 300 top managers at PRASA. This should be an interesting one to follow. To have this conversation, I'm joined by Dr. Willem Sprong, who is a railway expert. Later on, we'll be joined by the United National Transport Union, UNTU, as well as SADAO's National Coordinator for PRASA, Dinzi Lubabalo, will be joining us, and Sonja Carstens from UNTU would be joining us as well. Willem, good morning and welcome to Power Talk.
Good morning, Aldrin, and thank you very much for inviting me.
Looking at the turnaround strategy, a three-phase plan, can you just quickly make the distinction for us, that what are the three phases before we get into the nitty-gritties?
Well, from what we saw yesterday that was released in the press, the three phases is also coupled to periods that they will implement these three phases. The first one being trying to re-establish stability and order in PRASA. And according to the press release yesterday, they want to focus on that between January and March this year. The second phase is the execution, which will be the first 6 months of this year. And that's very much focusing on the implementation of all the corrective measures that they want to take. And then the third phase is the commission and continuity phase, which already started. And that's a very positive thing that I find from this planning, is that they already looking at handing over by the end of December. So from January to December this year, throughout this period that the administrator was appointed, they will look at the continuity, the sustainability within PRASA and establishing that.
I have to say that I find it quite interesting that he started on the 9th of December.
Yes.
And already there is a turnaround strategy that he has come up with. Whether the turnaround strategy is perfect, that's another conversation to be had. But at least there is something that PRASA, as well as the shareholder, can work from.
Yes, like you said in the introduction, that most of the findings we weren't really surprised about, that things that we knew that was problematic. And I must compliment the administrator. When we spoke last year, just after he was appointed, mm-hmm. I was a bit skeptical. But I must compliment him and say that we are impressed with the strategy. The question is whether we'll be able to pull it through. And I believe that if we can keep to this, these things that they found, that we will see a different PRASA by the end of December. And I'm very positive, especially with the sustainability focus that they have.
And with the handover then, what is it that you think that the shareholders should take into consideration before appointing the permanent board members?
One of the things that I identified as really being critical is appointing the mm-hmm. critical board members, especially as CEO. We saw since 2015, and it was also included in the press release yesterday, the report that Minister Mbalula gave us, that we saw in 4 years, we saw six different CEOs. Mm-hmm, that's mm-hmm. almost every eight months. And that's the breeding ground, as stated in this report, mm-hmm. For all this fraud and everything that's taking place. That's where the breeding ground is created. Mm-hmm. So I would say the big focus on this continuity is first of all to re-establish the trust of the commuters, and then secondly to get a permanent board in place so that we can create this stability.
Yeah, actually on that particular point around the CEO, and this is something that is here as well in the report, where it speaks about there have been key changes and these are enablers for instability, speaking about at a CEO level as well, that these constant changes, even at a CEO level, is creating this instability. And then again, being PRASA becoming this fertile ground for non-performers and wrongdoers. Then on top of this, Dr. Willem, before you respond to this, then you have the other concern that's raised, that with the consequence management as well, at a consequence management level, where there are investigations, like we have with the police, dockets disappear, evidence disappear.
That's one of the things that I also found to be very interesting in the turnaround plan, is that there is very little more investigations that they want to do. I think the administrator, Mr. Mpondo, realized that there's been lots of investigations. The Special Investigations Unit has been involved, the Zondo Commission. We saw a huge amount of reports being generated. They want to focus on the implementation of these reports. I was involved 2 years ago, exactly 2 years ago, in the investigation for one of the biggest accidents we ever had in the history of the South mm-hmm. African Railways, when 24 people were killed at the Geneva level crossing accident. Mm-hmm. And that's 2 years down the line. None of those recommendations that were done in that report were implemented, as far as I know. One of the things was inadequate emergency exits for our long-distance railway coaches. We did not recommend in the report that these all of a sudden needs to change and more doors needs to be cut into the coaches. All we recommended was just implement measures so that you can ensure that we don't overload these coaches. And now, just recently, 2 weeks ago, we saw people burning trains at Bloemfontein Station because of overloading of the trains, and there weren't enough space on these coaches. So that just shows me that the recommendations of these reports, whether it's technical reports, financial reports, they just don't get implemented.
Yeah. Okay, so we're in conversation with Dr. Willem Sprong, who's a railway expert. We are discussing the turnaround strategy, the turnaround plan for PRASA. Some of the concerns that you have, some ideas probably that you have as well. You can call us on 061-987-000. You can also tweet at Aldrin St. Pierre, hashtag PowerTalk, and tweet at PowerFM987. Dr. Willem, the other thing is the lifestyle audit. Is that not investigation as well, or the start of an investigation that would lead to probably prosecution as well?
Yes, that was the one investigation that I could identify in this report.
Yes.
Was the lifestyle audits, and I think it's necessary. We know, and it's been reported in the news, not just PRASA, Eskom, Transnet, everywhere where looting took place. And I believe that's one of the reasons why PRASA focused on major capital projects, because when you spend 20 billion rand on one project, it becomes easier to loot some of that money.
Yeah.
And that's where the normal operational maintenance, the day-to-day things that had to happen on a technical side to keep our lines safe didn't happen because they weren't focused on those smaller projects. I believe that it's more difficult to steal money from smaller projects.
Yeah. Okay. So looking at some of the recommendations and part of what would be part of the handover plan as well, the continuity and handover plan, is this idea of a consolidation of the Intersite and PRASA Crest. What is that? How does that play out?
So over the years, PRASA has fragmented into a lot of business units. Intersite is one of the business units that manages the property. They've got PRASA Crest, PRASA Tech, PRASA Rail. So there's a lot of business units looking at different things. And to consolidate these into one business, well, first of all, provide us with accountability. We will have a single person that we can keep accountable, not 20 managers. It will become easier for the supply chain inadequacies, the efficiencies that we have to solve that, because you won't have different departments, different business units working on one project, on a single project. So there will be better accountability. We will be able to improve the supply chain management. So just overall.
So these companies have their own CEOs, right?
Yes, they've got their own business leaders reporting to a PRASA group CEO. So that whole structure is very top heavy.
Yeah, I actually spoke to someone from one of the subsidiaries, one of the executives of one of the subsidiaries, who spoke about how there is non-support coming from a top level from PRASA to support them as a subsidiary, although all the money goes up.
Yes, yes. And sometimes people will refer to it as a business culture or a human factor culture in companies, and that goes down. So from the top down. So if your top level management is not committed to providing a sustainable, safe service to our commuters, then the rest of the people will follow suit. We saw it in our state looting. As soon as you start getting problems at the top, it just boils down, and just in the end, you'll get right at the bottom. You'll get people that's not focused.
Yeah. Okay. So 0861987000. We're in conversation with Dr. Willem Sprong, a railway expert, and later on, we expect that Ubongisizwe Mpondo will be on Power Drive. This is around about 3 o'clock to speak more about his turnaround strategy. So you can tune into Power Drive with TT. This will be around about 3 o'clock to have that conversation with Mr. Mpondo about some of his recommendations and whether or not you believe that these recommendations are the right ones to turn around to turn around PRASA. Let's look at some of the other recommendations, Dr. Sprong. The issue around signalling, and also this manual, what do they call it?
Manual authorization.
Yeah. How does it work? And how do you fix that? Because there's now an issue with the buses as well. I understand that with the buses as well, there is a manual sheet that's being used, timesheet that's being used.
Yeah, so the signaling system is a system that was designed years ago to ensure the safe passage of trains. And that provides the operator or the train control officer, as we refer to it, to the people that sits in the Gauteng Nerve Center, for example, so they can see exactly where the trains are. The system then interlocks the different sections on the railway line so that it prevents you from making mistakes, from sending one train onto another train. And once the signaling cables get stolen or vandalized and it's not replaced, then you have to revert back to manual authorization, meaning that you have some person, and we're all human, we can make mistakes, we do make mistakes, that person must now manually keep track on a piece of paper where that train is. And every time that train driver gets to a signal or a traffic light on the railway line, they need to phone in, because their radios are not working. They need to phone in on their personal cell phones to get authorization to pass that signal at danger, meaning that train control officer takes the responsibility to send that train into the track. If they make a mistake and there's already another train
on that section,
an accident can happen. Now, we have standards and regulations and policies that try and prevent this as far as possible, where we would say to the train driver, you need to proceed at a speed, even though I've authorized you past this dangerous signal or signal of danger, you still need to travel at the speed. So if something goes wrong and there's all of a sudden an obstruction on the line, that you can still stop safely.
But would the train driver on the other end know that there is another train that could be coming and this train has received manual authorization?
No, they won't. And now that's the problem, because for a train, typically a Prasa train that's loaded, it takes almost 800 to 1,000 meters to stop safely while traveling at the normal 60 or 90 kilometers an hour. Now, if two trains are approaching each other, you can imagine that that stopping distance becomes really critical. And if you come around a corner and there's another train approaching, all you will do is try and save yourself and you will die for safety. And so that's how most of our accidents, where we get train collisions, happen. And in the if you look at the Rail Safety Regulator's annual State of Safety report, you will find that not all of those get reported in the news, but we get over 1,000 of those accidents on an annual basis in South Africa.
1,000?
Yes. And only where we get people that's injured or killed, that gets reported in the news. Now, I must just say that some of these, a lot of these, are while doing shunting movements and moving these trains around, but it's still trains colliding with other trains. And every time a collision like that happens, we reduce our capacity on our lines, coaches that you can't use anymore. And that reduces the amount of trains that we can run. That, again, influences the planners that need to plan these trains. And like you say, it's not just the buses. They need to plan even the trains manually these days on Excel spreadsheets. And there's a reduced capacity. And
why Excel spreadsheets,
all
though?
Our commuters want, they don't really want air-conditioned coaches. They don't really want all these luxurious means of traveling. They just want to get from where they stay to where they work in the afternoon, get back to where they work safely.
Reliability.
Yes. And it breaks your heart if you get to an accident like I did last year in January at the Mountain View accident, where three people were killed. Those were the breadwinners of their families. And to imagine that they got onto the trains in the morning thinking that they will get to work and safely back to home tonight and be with their families. They never made it home.
But does this report then respond to the signaling problem and how to fix the signaling problem?
The annual State of Safety report is what I would call a reactive report.
Yeah.
It gives us what happened in the previous
and
year.
And the turnaround strategy, does it give us a plan?
Yes, in the turnaround strategy, you'll see that they focus especially on the second phase, the execution phase. They're looking at the revitalization of the railway network, the modernization of the railway network. And we just now heard President Ramaphosa talking about the fourth industrial revolution.
Yes.
My belief, and it's a personal view, is that we actually still in South Africa struggling to really get out of the second industrial revolution.
Yes.
If you think about the second industrial revolution, that's when we started with mass production, the humans. And with mass production, you started getting a concentration of labor, and labor started organizing, and labor unions formed. And don't take me wrong, from a technical perspective, it sometimes hamper our ability to modernize because of the fear of people of losing their jobs.
Oh, okay.
And that hampers our ability to really implement modernization projects. The other thing that hampers it, and before I move on, I strongly believe that labor unions play a very, very important role in South Africa, especially in moving forward. Because we might lose a job in a specific area, but we're creating two other jobs by modernization. The other problem is the regulations and standards in especially our railway industry in South Africa. When I was involved in the development of the National Rail Safety Strategy in 2016, which, by the way, was never published by the Department of Transport, one of the four pillars that we identified for a safe railway industry in South Africa was this regulation, legislation, and standardization. Mm-hmm. Now, we're always pointing fingers at government and saying government must act and government must do things. But as a railway industry, we need to take ownership of the standards and the regulations that we work according to. And some of our regulations are been written in the 1960s. When we started electrifying railway lines in South Africa, when we started implementing signaling, electronic signaling systems. Now, those regulations are outdated in some instances, but they prevent us from implementing the fourth industrial revolution. For example, implementing wireless signaling, in-cab signaling.
Yes. Let's just quickly go to Entle, who is calling us on the power line. You can also call us on 0861-987-000. Tweet at Aldrin St. Pierre, hashtag PowerTalk, and tweet at PowerFM987. Entle, good morning.
Good morning, Aldrin. Compliments of the new year.
Compliments to you, too.
Doctor?
Good morning, ma'am.
I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I still blame EXA. EXA is putting the engineers into the position we are in now, purely because the charging stations, as well as signaling for PRASA, it's an output for an engineer. I've been seeing thesis of the engineers about charging stations of PRASA purely because I was doing SCADA 5 years ago, as well as ERTU for signaling for PRASA. Though I'm not working for PRASA, I was doing their 132 kV substation. You do a design this year, you present it the following year, the board declines it. Based on what? It's so demotivating for an engineer. You end up taking your thesis. It's not approved because this thing has not been implemented. Why are you guys not talking to EXA? Speak to EXA.
So do you think the problem lies with EXA?
The problem lies with EXA because EXA is throwing the engineers under the bus. How many engineers are with EXA and what are their outputs? The doctor can tell you that if an engineer is not registered with EXA, you cannot be touching such high priority things like signaling.
Okay.
Signaling is a priority to PRASA. I don't understand this. When are they gonna read and understand that signaling, their traction stations are in shambles? Somebody must work on their traction stations. Somebody must work on their 132 line. Somebody must work on their SCADA. Somebody must work on their ERTU.
Okay, thank you so much for that call, Entle. I'll get Dr. Sprong to respond to that. And after Power News headlines, we'll also be joined by the unions, part of the conversation. And you can also call us on 0861-987-000 and tweet at Aldrin St. Pierre, hashtag PowerTalk, and tweet at PowerFM987. It's at 10:30, time for Power News headlines.
You're listening to Power Talk with Aldrin St. Pierre.
And remember that you can tweet us at Aldrin St. Pierre, hashtag PowerTalk, and also tweet at PowerFM987. You can call us on 0861-987-000. We're in conversation with Dr. Willem Sprong, who's a railway expert. We will be having a conversation with Sonja Carstens, who is the Deputy General Secretary of United National Transport Union, as well as SATAO's National Coordinator for PRASA, Dinzi Lubabalo, who will be joining us in a sec. Doctor, just a quick response to that call from Entle.
Yes, about the EXA. EXA is the Engineering Council of South Africa, and they're the authority that takes the responsibility to ensure that the engineering profession in South Africa stays at the desired very high level of professionalism. Now, EXA requires a young engineer that just finished studying to finish a period of at least 3 years of professional development before they can apply to register as a professional engineer. And it's very true that, and we hope that more and more of our clients in the engineering industry will require that you must be a registered professional engineer to sign off on designs and projects. But to be registered, you need at least 4 projects that you managed as a young engineer from the start to the finish. And you need to show that you have the ability to become a professional engineer. And that is the problem that I think that frustrated her, is that she don't get the opportunity to work on projects that will allow her to report back to EXA in 3 years' time that she's developed adequately to become an engineer. And we can see
She's already an engineer. She's a qualified engineer.
Yeah, you qualify as an engineer after 4 years of study at the university, but then to register as a professional engineer. And we see that even in a report that the administrator released yesterday with supply chain problems, with trying to revitalize the modernization projects, the infrastructure, that we found that very little projects that is of the nature so that young engineers can use them to gain experience happened over the last few years.
Okay. So how does this then translate to what happens at Transnet? Because I remember having, actually it's a call that we got, and the person said that Transnet actually has a program with engineers and of training of engineers, and PRASA doesn't necessarily have that. So PRASA needs to start working hand in glove with Transnet. And looking at one of the recommendations here, speaking about discussions between Transnet and PRASA to unlock blockages. What are those blockages that we're speaking about? Is it solely relating to the railway lines and not relating to engineers?
When they speak about the blockages, in some cases in the metros, in their PRASA regions, they run the PRASA trains on the Transnet network. So it's to ensure the availability of that Transnet network. The problem is if they steal a signaling cable or electrical overhead cable on the Transnet network, PRASA becomes reliant on them to fix it before they can run their service again. With relating to the program at Transnet, they took hands with the University of Pretoria and they're sponsoring the Chair for Railway Engineering, similar to the Chair for Railway Safety that's being sponsored by the Rail Safety Regulator. And PRASA also sponsoring a chair for railway engineering and research at the University of Stellenbosch. Now, I'm involved at the University of Pretoria, and we are busy developing courses that they can send the engineers, technicians to the university, because the in-house ability of Transnet and PRASA has been depleted quite a lot. So they struggle to provide that training in-house. They're even now struggling because one of EXA's requirements is that you need to assign a mentor to a young engineer.
Okay.
And they're even struggling to assign these mentors to the young engineers.
Sure. Okay, so let's quickly bring in the unions. Sonja Carstens, who is the Deputy General Secretary at UNTU. Good morning, Sonja, and welcome to Power Talk. Your take on this turnaround strategy, three-phase turnaround strategy. Does UNTU believe that this is the strategy that will make PRASA successful and also create an environment where passengers feel that they have now a public transport system that is reliable?
Good morning and thank you for having us. From UNTU's side, we believe that this turnaround strategy, as unfortunate as it is, it's basically a carbon copy of the previous turnaround strategies we've had over the past 5 years, and which has not been implemented. And the reason for that is that all the acting, the previous acting CEOs are making made the mistakes that the administrator is making now. And that's not including important stakeholders into this process, because PRASA will never, ever be able to do it on its own. We need the involvement of communities. We need the involvement of various levels of government. For instance, the Department of Housing, the local government, the provincial government, the South African Police Force. And they are not included in the plan. Secondly, there's a gap in the plan where the administrator apologizes to South Africans and to commuters, and he says that he came across quite efficient PRASA employees, but he's silent on what the future entails for the 14,000 PRASA employees. And they are currently very much afraid of what's going on. And
what do you mean by that, Sonja?
Their future. Will there be possible retrenchment? We don't know anything about that. And they are severely affected by what's going on and the vandalism. They are also the ones who should have been apologized to by the administrator, because they are bearing the brunt for poor leadership decisions.
Yeah.
They are the ones facing the attacks, etc.
Sanja, I'm asking you this question because it sounds almost as if you are anticipating that there would be retrenchments at PRASA.
Well, we are very much afraid that it would be the case because at this rate, and with the plan that we've seen and studied in depth since it was released yesterday, we can't see the administrator achieving his goals without involving a lot more stakeholders mm-hmm. in the process. And at the rate, and there's nothing in the plan that's news to us. It's something that we've been advised to by all the other acting CEOs over the years at the Transnet Bargaining Forum. So there's nothing new. We've been hearing about the implementation of recommendations from Werkman since 2015. So that's our concern, that if you don't come out with something brand new and a whole new approach to what mm-hmm. the others have not taken, you won't be able to succeed.
I think that's a fair point that Sanja makes there as well around the various stakeholders. And I wonder whether in the war room, Dr. Sprong, in the war room that the minister spoke of, in that war room, whether that war room should also include all these other stakeholders, including SAPS.
What we in fact see in this report is that they want to unwind the war room
mm-hmm.
and they want to incorporate it in their four key focus areas. So this war room, if we read the report, won't exist very long in the future. But it is very important, and I agree with Sonia. When we wrote the National Railway Safety Strategy in 2016, there were four pillars that we based this strategy on, and one of the pillars was the collaboration between national, provincial, and local government. And we haven't seen that happen. The national government will include the police force. There's literature, research that shows that one police officer has got the same effectiveness as four security guards. But we don't see the police being involved in the safety, the security of the railways.
So do you think that the answer should be, because there's an issue in the report as well, that the security contract should be finalized speedily? Can SAPS be the answer?
That should be a collaboration between SAPS and the security
and a private security company.
And the private security companies. Unfortunately, private security companies has got limited powers. They, for instance, not allowed to search you or arrest you or detain you unless they physically witness crime being committed.
Yep.
So the police just got more power.
Yeah. Okay. Tinzi Lubabalo, who is the national coordinator for SATAO, is also joining us. Tinzi, good morning and welcome to Power Talk.
And your listeners.
Thank you so much. Your take on this turnaround strategy. Are you also agreeing with Sonia that, this is nothing new?
Indeed. There is nothing new that has been brought by the administrator. All what we see as SATAO is changing of timing in as far as PRASA modernization. All what we see as SATAO is a situation where it brings hopelessness on the part of our members because they are not certain about their future.
Mm-hmm.
You will remember that back from 2015, when this modernization program was introduced, there were concrete time frames that were proposed, as well as the number of trains that would have been produced by now. And it is with great disappointment to note that there's a huge setback because PRASA had only managed to produce 8 trains out of thousands and thousands of trains that were expected around the country.
Mm-hmm.
And as well as the fact that we only identify Western Cape and Gauteng as a modernization corridors that would be prioritized, then it suggests, in our view as SATAO, that our members will continue to be confronted with unsafe and unhealthy situations because PRASA will continue to be running trains that are short, and that would be translated in number of disadvantages, which among them include overcrowding.
Yeah, with the 30 billion rand in irregular expenditure, the idea that there should be a lifestyle audit of people working the supply chain management as well as the 300 top management, those who are at the top management level, 300 of them, that there should be a lifestyle audit as well, Tinzi. Is this something that SADAO welcomes?
That is not the substance of the matter.
Mm.
The issue here is how does PRASA ensure that Durban Central is getting the new trains on the 28th of February 2020? How do we ensure that the backlog that has been there, whereby it was expected that Southern Corridor in the Western Cape, Simonstown, Central Corridor, Cape Town to Chrisani, Cape Town to Captainship, are getting those nutrients so that our people can be able to access affordable.
But isn't it that the bad apples in the institution as well, that they also are to blame, and a lifestyle audit would be one way of trying to root them out? Because the delay in the supply of those trains, for instance, and the supply of the infrastructure could also be placed at the doors of the supply chain management, and how, for instance, the prices are ballooning.
Look for me, PRASA is blowing its own horn if it would want to capitalize about charging junior employees who had floated the procedure in the procurement processes. Whereas there are people who are accused of taking billions and billions of rands that have resulted in the derailment of the modernization project, whereby then we'll be talking as a country that we are having new trains that are effective, that are efficient, and that are serving the interest of the country.
Sonia, do you agree with that sentiment?
No, we welcome the fact that there's lifestyle audit.
Yeah.
We were shocked to read that it hasn't been done yet. It's also one of those promises made by previous CEOs that would have been done. It was one of the recommendations in the Werksmand report. And this Transnet is going through the same process as we speak. They're also doing lifestyle audits on everyone. So it's part of renewal, and it's to ensure that you root out the bad apples, as you correctly stated. And we are in agreement with that. Going forward, we need those committed to doing the job, and we need qualifications to have been vetted. We need to ensure that we have the right people without a criminal record, for instance, in the right position. And we can't deny the fact that PRASA has also been involved in state capture. And this is a process that we need to clean up and that we need to rectify. So from our side, we really welcome it. And as I was saying, we also welcome the same for Transnet.
Sure. Okay, so we're going to take a quick break at 061-987-000. Any comments or questions that you have, and you can also tweet at Aldrin St. Pierre, hashtag Power Talk, and tweet at PowerFM987.
Speak up. Call the Power Line on 0861-987-000.
And you can also tweet at Aldrin St. Pierre, hashtag Power Talk, and tweet at PowerFM987. Dr. Willem Sprong, quick one on the ticketing system. And because you spoke about the fourth industrial revolution earlier on, and I didn't get the sense that PRASA is responding to that. And Dinzi also touched on the issue around the modernization of trains and so forth. I don't get the sense that PRASA is responding to that, that as a commuter, wherever you are at, you'd be able to track the train that you need to be on at whatever time.
Yes, certainly. The fourth industrial revolution is all about using the gadgets that we already have, the cell phones and the cameras and everything, and just connect them to each other. So it shouldn't be rocket science to use this information to give feedback to our commuters on the timetables for the trains, if there's any delays, to even allow them to buy their tickets through their cell phones. We're already doing it at the airports, entrances to the airports, where you can use an electronic ticket. The thing with the fare evasion is that if you read the annual State of Safety report that was published by the Rail Safety Regulator last year, you will find that over the last 3 years, the patronage halved for PRASA. So half of the people using the trains. And I don't believe that's really true. I think it's just half of the people are not paying anymore to use the trains. We've heard reports in Tembisa near Kempton Park where the train have to stop in the middle of the section. There's no station, no facilities there, but the community is just forcing the train to stop so that they can get onto the train.
Sure.
And I'm sure those people aren't paying. So what I'm trying to say through that is that our communities also need to take a responsibility in this whole thing. When there's vandalism, when there's fare evasion, it just reduces the capacity of PRASA, the ability to provide trains on time.
A DM that I got you on Twitter saying that how can we expect PRASA to run smoothly if their biggest depot, which is in Braamfontein, doesn't have a proper functioning engineering department? When I was still there as an electrical engineering technician trainee in 2014-2015, there was no engineer there except the HOD of engineering, who eventually got fired due to corruption. Basically, there was only one experienced permanent electrical engineering technician, Heavy Current, who was on the inspection team. All in all, then four engineering technicians, no engineers at all. Thabo, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, Thabo.
I also like to say something because I'm a PRASA commuter.
Sure.
I use a train daily from Dansuat to Joburg, and also commuting back from Joburg to Dansuat. We've been experiencing a whole lot of delays without explanation. And when you go and inquire, the staff at the customer service is not even helping. Because now they will tell you that we don't know anything about what's happening. Yeah. They will call the section managers and they are not available. And you find people being stranded. They're waiting for about 4 hours to get a train that will take them home.
Yeah.
Even in the morning, there's train delays and there's no explanation, you know, whatsoever that is given to us as commuters. As we speak right now, there's no train that travels from Springs to Joburg or from Joburg to Springs. And we were not given an explanation as to why are the trains not running. Mm. And they haven't been running since last year, December. And they promised us that the trains will be running in Jan, but now they're telling us that there's no train.
So this also then goes back to the communication part and how PRASA communicates with its commuters, which are, of course, its clients. Derek, good morning.
Morning. How are you?
Good, good, Derek.
Good, man. First-time caller to the station as well, eh?
Welcome.
It's a pleasure. You know, looking at PRASA, and when I also part-time use the train as well, and you'd find yourself stranded in one of the lines for almost an hour or two waiting for assistance. So with the fourth industrial revolution coming into play, it seems like the country is going forward, but the commuters on the ground are actually suffering more because now we're not gaining from the fourth industrial revolution. Because now look at the technology is getting advanced, but the trains are not getting advanced, and we're having issues whereby the trains are delayed, and the app on its own, it's not even user friendly, because by the time you log in, the train that you see, you'd find that it's already passed. By the time you have to get into a train, you're already late for work. And
so the again, Derek, thank you so much. Unfortunately, we're running out of time. Again, it's about the communication and how PRASA is able to communicate with its users or its clients, at least. Sonia, just in closing, what would you like to see happen now? We've got 30 seconds.
Well, we would like to see that the administrators start making work of including the other stakeholders. Mm-hmm. It's crucial for us to have a proper functional passenger rail system, that all stakeholders must be on board. That was one of the demands we made when we handed over the memorandum to the president on the 26th of July, and obviously he did not adhere or even took note of our demands, because that's the most vital part.
Thank you so much, Sonia Carstens, who's the Deputy General Secretary at UNTU. Dinzi, your take as Satao, what should happen now?
Satao strongly believes that the administrator must create an enabling environment for the rolling stock programs that will be of benefit to our members, so that the modernization does not result into job losses.
Okay.
And that can only be successful if there is capacity building and our members' skills are aligned with the current technology.
Thank you so much. Tinzi Lubabalo, who is the National Coordinator for SADAO at PRASA. Dr. Willem Sprong, in conclusion, one point that you mooted just between when we went to that ad break is the appointment of an administrator instead of a permanent CEO. How do you see this playing out in the long run?
Well, we've seen that one of the big issues is the continuity in the management of PRASA, and I would have thought that it would have maybe been better to appoint a permanent board, appoint a permanent CEO, and move on. Now we have an administrator that we trust. Why couldn't we just have appointed a CEO that we can also trust?
And I was saying that I wonder which board is supposed to be appointing that new CEO. We've come to the end of this conversation. Thank you so much for being part of the conversation.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.